When did music come into your lives?
Our dad, this is Natalie speaking, is a singer and was also a drummer, and he would play music around the house and play it very loudly and make sure we were listening to a specific vocal moment and rewind it and play it again. And our mom is a theater director, so there were musicals and plenty of music around.
So the name Joseph was your grandfather's name. How was he influential?
So the name Joseph is actually more after the town of Joseph, Oregon, that our grandpa Joe grew up in, because his name is actually just Joe, just J-O, which we didn't find out about till recently when my mom actually looked at his birth certificate. Joseph, Oregon is a town that we grew up going to all the time, swimming in the lakes and hiking around and camping.
But Grandpa Joe is an incredible guy. He does a lot of volunteer work and he has always shown up and been present for all of our events throughout our life. And he's an amiable, likable fellow.
Your father plays a lot of music. Did he encourage the guitar, the piano, and the singing through lessons, or just something that came naturally for you guys?
You know, it really was me, Natalie. As we were growing up, I was the one pretty focused on music, and I took piano lessons and did many different things, tried to get involved in as much music as possible. But really, when I started singing with friends, this is before, Megan and Allie are 4 years younger than me. So when I started singing with friends, our dad would coach us and help us learn how to blend and harmonize. And he was really influential in learning the craft of singing.
Is he a professional singer or took lessons himself or naturally gifted?
Definitely naturally gifted. He was in a vocal jazz ensemble called Soundstations at his college. And I was always in awe. They would get together, you know, throughout our childhood and sing these incredible arrangements that were just very intricate and gorgeous dynamics. And I remember listening to them and just being in awe as a kid.
So let's talk about 2014 Native Dreamer Ken, the song Cloud Line.
Oh, wow. They're taking it back. I
Let's take it back.
love it. Oh, you want to talk about? Oh, okay. That's okay. So, Cloud Line was a really exciting song. I honestly haven't thought about this song in so long, but it was this feeling that encapsulated what we were going through at the time because we really had no idea what we were getting ourselves into with music. And I remember we were actually driving on I-5 from Portland to Seattle. We were in the car on our way to a show, and I forget who had the original idea, but we started writing it together, no instruments, just in the car. And it was just that feeling of like, wow, I feel like I'm diving from the highest heights, and I don't know what, you know, how deep the water goes, but here we go. We're falling through the clouds.
Show me the high dive so high up in the sky. That's a great line.
Thank you.
Shows courage.
I hope so. Always reaching for that courage every day.
Righty. Moving ahead to 2016, I'm Alone, No, You're Not. The song Planets.
I love that song. That was really a kind of a poem that Megan wrote.
It was straight out of her journal.
Yeah, she had written that down. And what she was inspired by, she had been reading and was inspired by that. And I forget, I believe she had that melody in her head, and we just kind of started singing it together, and I played an E chord, and it just built from there.
I love the line, "The stars are a blanket. I'll wrap them around these shoulders."
Oh, it was a Jack Kerouac quote.
Oh, what was it?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, there's the inspiration. I love that too. I love the wonder in it. She did a really nice job.
Which specific lyric is the Jack Kerouac quote, please? I am a planet turning around the sun?
Yeah, it's the whole like first verse, I believe, that was sort of based off of, I don't think it's directly pulled from him, but I remember she had read somewhere on Instagram, somebody had posted a Jack Kerouac quote, and she just sort of wrote a little poem kind of based off of that.
The feeling. I just asked her what the quote is. She's texting us.
It has a great feel.
Thank you very much. That was our, I think we really learned when writing that song how we wanted to arrange vocals and how we wanted to kind of weave in and out of each other with the harmonies. And that's kind of the beginning of the signature thing that we've done.
2017, Stay Awake, Moonlight Mile, The Stones. Oh,
Stones. Yeah, that was really, it comes from a funny story. I'm going to tell.
I'll tell it. Okay, this is Allie here. And growing up, I didn't listen, none of us really listened to like a lot of music. I listened to mostly like country music. And so we got the opportunity to open for James Bay. And basically we were all standing in his tour bus talking, and he was kind of making this joke, telling this story about this person he'd been talking to who couldn't name all of the Beatles. And I was like, ha ha, kind of like laughing, trying to be like, oh my gosh, I hope he doesn't ask me what all of their names are because I have no idea. And I kind of started to blush because I was starting to get really nervous. I was sweating. And then he looked at me and he was like, wait, do you not know all the names of the Beatles? And I was like, ah. And
busted.
So I know, busted. And so I ended up, he and I ended up having like a really amazing conversation about everything. And he made me this whole playlist of all these old artists that I should listen to in the album that would be like kind of the best one to start with, you know? And so when I got to the Rolling Stones, I came across the Sticky Fingers record, and I was like, okay, this is really cool and not what I was expecting the Stones to sound like. And I heard Moonlight Mile and really was drawn to it. And one day we were sitting in one of our green rooms. I think it was in Washington, D.C. Natalie was like, okay, we got to come up with a cover to sing. And I was like, well, why not this beautiful song of the Rolling Stones that I just learned? And so it all kind of went from there.
The way you all do that, that is truly magnificent.
Thank you.
Oh, the way you guys just do it. And I love the line, my dreams is fading down the railway line. I'm just another moonlight mile down the road.
Oh, such a good picture.
So good. And then you guys knock it out with Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. That was a suggestion by the guy who runs our label, John Salter, because he had been really impacted by that song. And I knew that song just from, you know, the general zeitgeist and it playing in places, but I hadn't really listened to the lyrics. And the thing that really struck me is he says something about making the most of freedom and pleasure. And I definitely, that resonated with me as each day I kind of wake up and think, okay, what can I do for all of the horrible things that are going on in the world that I feel bombarded by constantly every day? And you know, you kind of have to just do the thing that's in front of you and find ways that you can help however you can, but also be present where you are and enjoy the things that you have and make the most of the resources that you have. And that felt really, really good. And I ended up writing another verse, and thankfully their people signed off on our version of the song. And to kind of put that feeling, make the most of freedom and pleasure. All I know is take care of each other, an open door, a seat at the table. There's enough to go around. And that really, to me, feels like the only answer I can come up with to everything going on.
80s, there was a lot of hedonism that went on in the 70s and 80s. And I didn't take part in that at all. And busted.
Busted.
And so I thought, oh, how thoughtful and lovely, because is youth just about dissipation? When does it become about a community and taking care of one another in our immediate sphere and surrounding?
That's right.
So well done.
Oh, thank you so much.
So my sister found the quote for planets, and it turns out it was Jack London, not Jack Kerouac. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say a little bit of difference between those, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. But,
oh, Lord.
Help I don't actually all. Know who Jack London is. I don't recognize that name.
San Francisco.
Well, okay, so the quote says, "I would rather be ashes than dust. I would rather that my spark should burn out in a brilliant blaze than it should be stifled by dry rot. I would rather be a superb meteor, every atom of me in magnificent glow, than a sleepy, impermanent planet. The function of man is to live, not to exist."
Ooh, that's really cool. I've never heard her. I've never heard that. This is the first that we're talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. How about stay awake?
Oh, wow. My true colors of the struggle of how to exist in this world are coming to the surface. Stay awake is a similar, it's an attempt to just grapple with everything. You know, it's, I think as I've gotten older, I've felt less certain of a lot of things. And I used to kind of think everything would work out. And at some point in my life, I realized that sometimes things don't work out for everybody. You have to keep getting up and keep doing it, you know? And I think like a lot of my friends' lives were kind of falling apart in many different ways. And I just felt that sense of like, okay, I know it's harder than we thought it would be. And I kind of chronicle some of my friends' personal things going on. Like a friend had been waiting a really long time and still was waiting for something she wanted. And I can't actually tell you it's going to be okay, but stay awake and stay present and keep going. And it's, you know, there's something about that to me that is helpful, even though it has no answer. And I'm somehow comforted by there not being an answer in a way, but to know that the only thing that I can do is just keep going.
I've put that song right at the end of my show as a little way to say, stay awake. Don't fall asleep on me now.
More, oh, I love that.
More of a literal interpretation. You guys stay awake now. That. Come on, pay attention. This is good amazing. Stuff.
That's right. Yeah. And I think also it's like you can, there's so many ways that you can go on autopilot, you know, and that's kind of what the metaphor is sort of nodding to is just there's with everything that is hard, you can shut down. You can shut yourself down. You can sort of turn off. You can autopilot so that you don't feel pain. But it's like, no, keep your eyes open and stay present and keep showing up for what might come next.
How about Fighter from the new album, Good Luck Kid? Yeah.
That one is Megan as well. Her soaring vocals blow my mind every time. That song was written about something that we hadn't talked about yet and we wouldn't talk about for many months to come. It was, we had a lot of tension going on for different reasons. And again, that's another theme of, it's like, okay, you can choose to sort of shut yourself down to the person in front of you and just disappear within yourself and not bring yourself to the table, or you can decide to come to the table and fight for what you have together, even if it means saying uncomfortable things or having conflict. And so the song is really just a person begging someone to stay in the fight and keep fighting for what they have.
So is this a song about a relationship, would you say?
It's really a song about our relationships between the three of us.
You think you're keeping the peace while you creep away from me.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and I think for us, our dynamic is that we tend to keep things inside for a lot longer before bringing it up. We're not very explosive until it can't, it just is so much that it bursts, you know? But so that is really just kind of a pact that we've made recently to be honest with each other and not let anything fester.
That's a good policy. And as you age, you'll find the things that will come out of your mouth will be so blunt and so honest. But if you say it in a very courteous way, it won't hurt anyone's feelings. And if it does, you had to say it so you don't boil over.
Uh-huh. Wow. That's good.
As they say, as the Who say, bite back on your anger. That was me.
And interesting.
That's me.
Wow.
Was me. Wow. No longer. No, no.
You're a lyrics guy.
I am a lyrics guy.
I love this. It's rare that we get to talk about specific lyrics.
Good luck, kid. How about that one?
That one came from me entering my 30s and for me personally, kind of losing my religion and feeling like a total, you know, old person when it came to social media and the internet and kind of like a, what are these kids doing these days kind of attitude. And just truly feeling overwhelmed. Kind of, I was talking about that to my husband, Chris, and he was like, yeah, it's like the universe stopped the car, tossed you the keys and said, good luck, kid. And I was like, yes, that is exactly what it is. Wow. And as we've sung it more and more, it's really also been a bit of a mantra to myself. I feel like I'm talking to the little child version of myself that's still inside of me, you know, and it's a vote of confidence and it helps me have compassion for myself to recognize I'm still, you know, I'm doing my best. And the song is kind of a hug around the neck and a you can do it.
Because that's sort of how a lot of people feel about the music business is, yeah, whatever. Good luck, kid.
Yeah, I think that it can also totally have that tone of a little bit of sarcasm because we're in the Wild West right now with the music business. I do feel like we're blazing trails that are completely grown over and everything is new and it can be truly overwhelming. So it definitely has that a little bit of that tone as well. It can be either. It's both a believing vote of confidence and also a little bit like, yeah, good luck with that.
Gosh, you know, I want to say good luck, kid, but then you guys would hunt me down.
No, you're free to say good luck, kid.
Or bon chance, as the French say.
Bon chance.
Yeah.
Oui, oui.
Right. I just want to say in closing that your harmonies are astonishing. I do love when I can hear the three of you and maybe one or two instruments because the sound of your voices alone are the story and so compelling. Mm-hmm. And I like when you have a band with you and I get why you do that. But I love it when you just strip it down to the three of you and a guitar and a piano.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We're glad that we can do both iterations and that we still get to go back and do trio shows a lot of times. But yeah, the band shows definitely like a fun, powerful thing, but it's cool to be adaptable in that way. Mm-hmm.
So this tour following the album, are you guys going to do trio shows, band shows, or both? Or
so we really wrote this album with, you know, having toured for a year and a half too with the full band and realizing, oh, this is a whole broader color palette, you know? So a lot of the songs that we wrote and then going into the studio and recording them, we tried to take it as broad and, you know, as you hear on both Fighter and Good Luck Kid, we wanted the dynamics to just be a broader spectrum. You know, we wanted the louds to be even louder to make the soft, quiet moments even more pronounced. And so, it's just so exciting. There's nothing like being in a room and playing a rock and roll show, you know, it's incredible. But we will be having a part of the set. We always have a part of the set that's just the three of us, because, you know, that's the core of who we are and what we do. And so we'll be doing band shows for this tour, probably, you know, for the majority of what's forthcoming, but there will be moments of trio within the set. So it's going to be fun.
Best of luck.
Take it.
Bring it around. Take circle. It. Bring it around circle. Bring it back again. Like a lasso. Okay, great talking to you guys. This
thank
was
you, Jim.
All right, and maybe I'll see you on tour. So
please do. Thanks so much.
I'll try.
Thank you. Right. Hope you do too.
Okay, bye-bye.
I see ya.